John chapter 4, if you take your Bible there. I love the bus ministry. My wife was not saved as a result of the bus ministry, but the bus ministry is primarily responsible for her continued growth in grace and her development as a young Christian teenager and into a young woman. She became a bus captain while she was still a teenager there in Baton Rouge, and Danny Bazette was our bus director there at the church in Baton Rouge, and at one time, they had the largest bus ministry in Louisiana. I don't know how many buses that they were running, but they were running up over 1,000, if you can believe that, just in the bus ministry those many years ago. And Dr. Wally Beebe used to have what he called the 50 Club, the 75 Club, the 100 Club, and I think it went all the way up to about the 300 Club. And what you had to do when it first came out was have that number 3 consecutive Sundays in order to be able to be inducted into that particular club. And my wife was inducted into the 100 Club as a young person. We went up to Northwest Bible Baptist Church and served with Brother Gomez following our time at Howells Anderson, and I was over the buses, and she again became bus captain, and she was also inducted into the 100 Club at that particular time as well. And then when I moved to Marion and assumed the pastorate there, we got the bus ministry cranked up, and she became one of our bus captains, and once again she exceeded that mark as a bus captain. And so it's ingrained in us, and she's been a bus captain. My children through the years have been in bus ministry and bus captains and workers and door runners, and like some of you ladies, so our children were in the car seat as babies, right behind the driver's seat as she would conduct that bus program and go and pick up those boys and girls on the bus each and every week. And I thank the Lord for her heart. I thank the Lord for her love for boys and girls. And I too was in the bus ministry. I started 1972 when Brother Bob Smith came to the church there in Baton Rouge. He introduced us to the bus ministry shortly after he came in 1970. And we had some buses, and he gave each of those buses names. We had a white bus, and it was named Casper. All right, we had Caleb, and we had Joshua. We had the Purple People Eater. We had the Jolly Green Giant, to name a few. We had Noah's Ark, and that's the one that Susie was captain of. And I'll never forget starting just as a youngster, as a door runner, working with Edgar Graham, the music director. And I would go just run the buses and get the kids across the street and put them on the bus. And man, what a time we had. And through the years as a bus captain and a leader in the bus ministry, and it's something that we emphasize and have emphasized at our pastorate for the last 25 years. And we've seen the bus ministry at its heights, and we've seen it somewhat at its lows. We've seen it, come back in different ministries, and we're excited about that. Amen. You know, as I was preparing some thoughts, I remember just a few things that those that were in the bus ministry, some things that they said that really encouraged me and spoke to my heart. Brother Buchanan, my pastor for many years, used to say concerning the bus ministry and children's work, it's better to win boys and girls than to repair men and women. Brother Jerry Purtell works with Child Evangelism Fellowship, or used to, years ago, and he branched away from that, and he started an organization called SMITE, and it has to do with summer missionaries in training and evangelism. And he's trained countless numbers of young people to conduct five-day clubs, backyard Bible clubs, and they've saturated areas in South Louisiana and have traveled around the country and on the mission fields. And Dr. Purtell used to call the bus workers the special forces of the church. They're like the Green Beret. They're like the Marines. They make the beach way. And it's amazing the doors that they open in other areas because of their work. And then Dr. Wally Beebe, best known as Mr. Bus, used to say that the bus ministry is perhaps responsible for more people being in Sunday school than any other ministry. I say all that to say this: I love the bus ministry. Amen. It's a tool. It's an avenue. And long before there were bus ministries, there were car ministries. And that's where people just filled their back seat up and brought people to church. And even before that, there were wagon ministries. It is said that D.L. Moody, when he ran his Sunday school in Chicago, would go out through the streets in wagons and get boys and girls and bring them to Sunday school. It's nothing new. It's a way of life, and it's been a way of life through Christianity throughout the years. It's simply bringing people to Jesus. Amen. We have a song we often sing, bring them in, bring them in, and bring them in from the fields of sin. Well, we've started our bus ministry all those years ago and to this day, and we open it up every Saturday morning, and we sing, bus them in, bus them in, bus them in from the fields of sin. Bus them in, bus them in, bus the wandering ones to Jesus. But you know, most bus captains have an old raspy, scratchy throat. I mean, it gets strained, and many times over the years, we become tone deaf to all the yelling and the singing that we attempt to do. And it don't always sound in harmony. And so over the years, we kind of exaggerate it a little bit, and the worse you sing it, the better it is. And we'll start singing like this, bust them in, bust them in, bust them in from the fields of sin, bust them in, bust them in, bust the wandering ones to Jesus. That's awful, isn't it? That is putrefying, isn't it? But the people go crazy in it because we're busting them in. Amen. And it represents all the work and the effort and the sacrifice and the pain sometimes that you have to endure. And so you just let her go by singing and starting out that day that way. And so we'll start our Saturday out that way. And then Sunday morning, we'll meet with them early in the morning. And those bus workers are usually the first ones in church. Amen. And they're there gracing the parking lot. And they're in and maybe drinking some coffee, nibbling on a muffin or a biscuit. We'll gather together and we'll have that special prayer. And those bus workers, one by one, will file out and get onto those buses. Ours are red and white. And they'll start making their way through town. And I tell you, it's a beautiful sight to see those buses go through that community. And they even beautiful sight when they come up the driveway and you see kids just singing, sometimes not supposed to, but hanging out the window. Hey! And you got Sunday school teachers that are working by and say, oh God, help, help, Lord, come quickly. I mean, they're praying. And you got a bus captain, he's all fired up, man. She's excited, he's excited. Bus captain got his hat on backwards, his hair's all disheveled. He's got his coat turned inside out saying, glory to God, glory to God. He's suffering from traumatic post-trauma, I guarantee you. But they're all pumped up and they're excited. Kids are being ushered that way and this way. And somebody's holding an arch board trying to find the address for some kid that they don't know where in the world he came from. And they get him into class and, man, it's exciting. The bus captain, throws him in, slams the door and says, and then prays for that Sunday school teacher. Don't you love the bus ministry? All the excitement, all of the thrills that are associated with it. It is a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And I really believe the Lord God of heaven rejoices when he looks down and he sees those little ones being brought to Jesus. And not just those little ones, but those teenagers that are being reached. And sometimes those single parents that are being reached. And sometimes those young adults that are being reached. And sometimes the special needs adults that are being reached. And sometimes the folks that may find themselves a little bit down on their luck, so to speak, just using that bus transportation to come into church and reaching them. Otherwise, they would have been neglected. Thank God for the bus ministry. Thank God for the man or the woman that surrenders to commit themselves to that ministry, to be there at the meeting and then to follow up and build and visit and minister to those boys and girls and men and women, and then to bring them to church and to bring them home and to provide the activities and all the little incentives many times that they do. Some of the most tired folks that'll be on a Sunday night are those that started on Saturday went on through Sunday all day. In many instances, you're pulling triple and double and triple duty. You'll go get the kids. Sometimes you'll teach them, and sometimes you'll preach to them, and you got to bring them home. You come back, you go to choir, or you go to the nursing home. You grab a bite to eat after everybody's long since gone home. You show up back to church, and you got a smile on your face, and it seems like you never complain. Wow, what a bus worker. What a bus worker. What a ministry that is so, so special in so many of our lives. How many of you are in the bus ministry? Raise your hand. All right. Let me just say this. Everybody ought to be in the bus ministry, and everybody can. Even if you can't go, you can pray. Hey, and you can pray, and sometimes you can send. Amen. And you can support. You know, the whole church ought to be in the bus ministry. And ought to be so excited about whatever happens, because you know what? It's just another extension of the team. It's just another extension of the preacher's heart and the preacher's burden. Amen. So really, everybody is in the bus ministry. Every time you see a bus, every time you see a child, every time a new visitor comes in, you ought to be saying, praise the Lord. I prayed for that bus to get here safe. I prayed for it to be full. I gave so that it keep going. I'm in the bus ministry too. Amen. Glory to God. I'm kind of excited about that. Well, let me get to my text, because I hurry up here. I got some other things I want to share with you about the bus ministry. But let's look at the scripture. In John chapter 4, you're familiar with this passage of scripture. I want you to look at verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. And he must needs go through Samaria. And he goes into Samaria, as we know, and he meets a woman. And he has a conversation with this woman. And this woman gives her life to the Lord Jesus. She's saved. She goes into the town. She begins to tell everybody what Jesus had done for her. Now, prior to this, the disciples went on in to get a bite to eat in town. They come back and they see Jesus was talking to this woman. And before she ran away and gathered those to come back to see and meet Jesus himself, he says to them, beginning in verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Now his disciples, they were perplexed. Did he leave and go and get something and they weren't aware of it? But Jesus was not talking about the physical food, was he? He was talking about spiritual food. And it was spiritual food, and that was winning someone to himself. And there's a food, a spiritual food, that can be better than the physical food. And that's when you give out that track. That's when you lead that person to Christ, or you witness to them. That dear lady was talking about giving that track out. Each and every one of us can do that, and you're better for it. Each and every time that you do it, there just seems to be an energy that begins to come up into you that you had not before. I guarantee you, you compare to your week. You go ahead, experiment. Start this next week. Get out some tracks. Go witnessing. Purpose to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus, and the next week, don't do it. And I guarantee you, you'll come back and say, you know what? The week that I gave the tracts, I attempted to witness or led somebody to Christ, I was far more fulfilled than the week I did. I guarantee you. Amen. I guarantee you. And Jesus said to these disciples, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And sometimes, that's what why you look at that bus worker and that bus captain, it just seems like they're on top side all the time. And they don't seem to get discouraged, or at least it don't appear that way on the outside. They're not the folks who give the preacher the problem. They're not the folks that are complaining about the kids that are marking on the wall. They're not the folks that are complaining about this got messed up or that got messed up. These folks have they're just unaware of that. All they see is, man, isn't God good? Amen. Why is that? Because they have eaten from the meat that most know not of. Amen. Well, let's go on. Look at this. Jesus saith unto him, then my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reaped receiveth wages and gathered fruit unto life eternal, and that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestow no labor. Other men labored and you are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. If we go back to that first verse, I must needs go through Samaria. I want to preach to you this thought in just a little bit of time here that we have. Let's put the go in the gospel. Let's put the go in the gospel. That's exactly what the bus ministry does. It puts the go in the gospel. Heavenly Father, I pray you bless these simple truths. May it be an encouragement to each and every one that hear. I do thank you for those that give themselves to such a ministry as the bus ministry that reaches people and brings them to church and emphasizes leading them to a personal relationship with you. God bless that, bless them, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. Putting the go in the gospel. You know, we think about the gospel. You think about what the Lord is teaching his disciples. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. And we're going to do a parallel. We're going to kind of consider the testimony of the Lord Jesus and liken that to what the bus ministry attempts to do week after week. Why is this must so important? Why is it essential to put the go in the gospel? First of all, because of the uniqueness of the task Jesus completed. Look at verse number 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. There was a uniqueness of the task that Jesus had come to complete. In this particular instance, at this moment, his mission was not complete. His mission was complete when he hung on that cross and cried, it is finished. And 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose, a mighty triumph for his foes. But he's saying to his disciples here, in a sense, that you must needs go after souls because of the uniqueness of the task that I have come to complete. And what was that task? Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That was the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to Calvary, to die in our place, to rise again gloriously over death, hell, and the grave. That was the mission that he had come to complete, and that's why we are to put the go in the gospel, because all the world needs to hear that Jesus saves. I got a friend, his name's Pastor Mort, or Pete Mort. He's a missionary over in the Philippines now, and I'll never forget, he told me the story. He went to Europe. One of his girls was a missionary to England, and they were over on a survey trip, and they decided to go to Italy, and they went to the Vatican. And he said, I went into that Vatican City, and he said, this huge plaza was there, and thousands of people were everywhere. And he said, I saw the little perch that the Pope comes out and addresses the congregation and so forth. He wasn't there that day, but thousands of people were all over that plaza. And he said, Brother Ballard, something just came over me at that instant. I got in the middle of that plaza with my girls there by my side. I cut my hand. He said, I just felt like it needed to be said in this place of so much religiosity, in this place of so much formality. reality in this place where tradition seems to triumph the spiritual. He said, I cupped my hands and I said to the top of my lungs, Jesus saves. He said, now walk on. He said, you could have heard a pin drop after that. He said, I don't know what kind of message they bring, but that afternoon they heard the truth. Amen. They're in the Vatican City. Jesus saves. Hey, that's the uniqueness of the task that Jesus came to complete, that He saves. Why put the gospel? Why put the go in the gospel? Because of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ that is available to all men. Secondly, why must He go through Samaria? Because of the urgency of the task Jesus commissioned. Verse number 35, He says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Let me say it again. Because of the urgency of the task that Jesus commissioned. Now, in its simplest form, the Great Commission is found in Mark 16:15, and simply says that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's also found in Matthew 28:19-20, Luke 14:23, John 20:21, and Acts 1:8. In this commission, we see the enormity, the scope of this great commission. Go into all the world. You know, one of the reasons I like the bus ministry is because it's like highways and hedges. You go over there to Luke 14, and the steward was commissioned to go out again and bring them in, or invite them into the banquet feast that had been prepared. You know, they came in and he brought with him the blind, the lame, the halt, and so forth. And the good master said, go out there again. He said, this time go into the lanes and the byways, the highways and the hedges. After they'd gone and gathered everybody that they could see, they went out and rounded up everybody they couldn't see. And they brought them in because of the scope of the enormity of this commission to reach the world. Then also, we talk about the urgency of this task that Jesus commissioned. The sorrow of its neglect is certain. When we neglect that responsibility, you think of all those that perish without God. Someone said, Brother Buchanan, you say this all the time, and I don't know where he got it. I'm sure he heard it from somebody. But he said, every time you snap your fingers a couple of times, he said, a soul perishes. Now, I don't know how many people on the face of the earth. I guess it's somewhere around 7 billion now or so. That's a heap of folks. And every few seconds, they're just dying and going out into eternity. And so many of them are hopelessly lost. Do you realize, those of you that work with children in the bus ministry, that most children, most people that are converted do so before they're 12 years old? Do you hear? I read an interesting statistic the other day. Do you know that 80% of Christians, 80% of Christian leaders today came through a Sunday school or a children's ministry? That's how important it is. I'm not saying all of the church leaders. I'm just saying what I think it was Christianity Today. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you can always believe everything you read, but I'm saying that according to Christianity Today, 80% of church leaders, that's folk in our church, had come up and gone or attended Sunday school or children's ministry. I think it's pretty important to put an emphasis on it, amen? Oh, what a blessing. Oh, what a blessing, because of the urgency of the task Jesus commissioned. We see the scope of that commission and its enormity, the sorrow of its neglect. And that in itself is certain. So many boys and girls dying without ever hearing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Man, I remember working in the bus routes up in the Chicagoland area and over in Baton Rouge and in our city. And, you know, it seems like there's an epidemic among our youth of drugs and you know, many of them are on some type of, you know, prescription drugs. You know, it's a sad truth and reality that even many of our children that we pick up on the bus are already addicted to drugs, prescription drugs in some form, because of the lack of discipline and direction that children are given today. You know, the only hope that many of them have is you Sunday school teachers, you bus workers, you children's church workers. When you have them before you and in your charge, and you're able to impart to them the truth of God's Word, which preacher said this morning, and it's so true. Everybody's looking for truth. We know where truth is. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth. Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen?
Right.
And the only chance that they're going to have is churches like this, with people with a burden like what you have and what your pastor has, to get the gospel to them. I honestly believe it's one of the greatest ministries that a family can involve themselves in. It's the greatest ministry a young person could get into. And you talk about teaching responsibility. Hey, I love 4-H, but being on a bus ride is better than 4-H. Or science projects or things of that nature. Because it'll teach them discipline and accountability and compassion and so forth and so on. Oh my. Let me go on quickly. We talk about the must needs go through Samaria, putting the go in the gospel because of the unequal compensation the task rewards. Verse number 36, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." I want to say, you know, praise the Lord. Hey, there's a compensation that comes along with reaching people for Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh man, I'm telling you, in heaven, yes, but I'm talking about right now. The blessing of reaching people for the Lord. As I mentioned, my wife, she was immersed in the bus ministry. And it was through that bus ministry and through her testimony that in time we began to know each other, later began to date. We became husband and wife. And you know, we have the same value system right there, beginning from those teen years, seeing the importance of reaching those boys and girls for Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, you young men and young ladies, you'll be looking for that future spouse. You know, they say opposites attract. Okay, I hear that. I understand that. But you know what? Commonality binds. You got some things that you can work together and you have the same heartbeat. Hey, you know what? That'll get you through the difficult times and the challenging times that are sure to come in any marriage. Amen. That's just free. That's off the dollar menu there, okay? Oh, I'm talking about, man, the unequal compensation. You know, right now, and I don't even want to start down this road, but the young man that is directing our buses right now, when I became pastor, he may have been a year old. We reached him through the bus ministry. He started riding the bus when he's just barely able to look over the seat. Now he's a tall drink of water, about 6'4" or so. And I tell you what, to hear him preach, to hear him give guidance and instruction to those bus workers, and hear him testify of how the bus ministry salvaged his family, what reward. What reward. Oh yeah, there'll be rewards in heaven. I understand that. But what the blessing of seeing what God will do with you and through you now through such a ministry as this. You see their lives change. You see the souls that are saved. Oh, there's a man in our church. His name's Dave Truesdale. We used to call him Tree Trunk Dave. He was a Harley. He's always been a Harley guy. And when I first met him, he was a Harley guy and rough and rugged. He came to church, and he came because his girl was picked up on a church bus, and she invited him to come to Sunday school and church. And as a result, he got saved because of his daughter, a little bus girl, invited daddy to church, and Dave got saved. And I'll never forget, Dave's a quiet, unassuming guy. But I probably have no greater supporter than Dave Truesdale in our church there in Marion. I'll never forget, I was preaching along there, this is years ago, in the month of June, and he had gotten saved, and he was a biker. And he liked to drink, and he liked to fight, and all of that that goes with it. But he came up to me and said, "Preacher, not that you care," he said, "but I want you to know, I haven't touched a drink for 1 week." I said, "Man, praise the Lord, man." Amen. About a month passed by, he came back to me. He said, "Not that you care, but I want you to know, I haven't drank for 1 month. And you know what? I don't miss it." Amen. Now it's been 23 years, 24 years. And you know what? He's still sitting behind that church bus driving it every Sunday, week in, week out, snow, ice, rain, mud, sunshine. Dave's been sitting behind that seat now for over 23 years, 24 years. All because of the bus ministry. Don't tell. That's a reward. And your preacher could tell the same, and your church has experienced the same. Hey, but you know what? It doesn't have to be yesterday's story. It could be today's. Amen. How about that? Little fella comes to church for the first time. Hears the gospel. Comes down the aisle and gets saved. Throws his hand up. "I don't know for sure, but I want to know." It's because somebody invited him to church. Where's the fella that invited him to church? Man, I tell you what, let me give you a high five. Come on, brother. I mean, I'm telling you what, that's better than any touchdown pass that you can throw or you can catch, any dance in the end zone that you could perform. That's better than any of that stuff. Amen. It's better than any award that you can get at a school function where they call out names for this or that. Now, do your best in school, okay? Don't take Brother Ballard's advice on everything. You do good in school, okay? And don't end up like me, all right? But I'm telling you, son, praise the Lord for that. Amen. You know, a lot of times you say, "Well, we ought not, you know, brag on this kid." Why not? Amen. He's thinking world brags on him. Hey, we got out there on the stands on Friday night. "That's my boy! That's my boy! He just ran that pigskin down the aisle, down the field! Man, we got his name, his number, got a picture in the front yard, won his name in the newspaper." Man, I'd be proud if my son brought somebody to Jesus Christ. Hey, man, that's what the bus ministry, that's what it produces. And I'm saying, hey, because of the must, unequal compensation is rewarded. Hey, let me give you this last thing, the must. The must, because of the unlimited power of Christ, the task demonstrates. Look at verse 41. Now, we know what happened. All right, going back to John chapter 4, we know what happened. All right, Jesus talks to this woman. She leaves her water pot and she left with the well. Amen. She goes back into the town. She begins to tell others what Jesus Christ had done in her life. The disciples return. They see all of this commotion that has been taking place. And then all of a sudden, from all different corridors, the disciples standing there with the Lord Jesus begin to see a city turn out. And that's what it says. Verse number 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days." They had a 2-day meeting with the Lord. Huh? Man, that is the power that was generated by folks that were obedient to the task. God stayed and worked in the lives of those people there. What a meeting. What a meeting. So I'm saying, we see here the go in the gospel. It's a must. Jesus demonstrated. Someone say, why put the go in the gospel? First and foremost, because Jesus himself did it. And because Jesus himself commissioned it. And because it's the greatest show of expression of gratitude that you can express for what God has done in your heart and life to tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. Because of the limitless reward that's associated with it. And for the demonstration of God's power that follows it. Amen.
Amen.
The go in the gospel. Keep the go in the bus ministry. Keep the go in the bus ministry. You know, we often say that a church that stays after missions is a church that will never lack supply. Amen? And I agree with that.
Amen.
I also believe a church that stays after those boys and girls, those men and women, those people in the highways and hedges, and those folks in the byways and the bayous, as we used to say down in Louisiana. Just seems like the Lord just keeps those going, doesn't He?
Amen.
You know, I used to get criticized a lot, you know, because we had at one time a large bus ministry, and we had a lot of bus kids then. We were what they'd call upside down. We had more people we were bringing in on the bus than we actually had driving in. And I'd get, you know, to thinking about that, the negative aspect of that, all for about half a baby aspirin. And then I'd forget about it. And I'd say, you know what? I'll take them old bus kids. I remember, I heard, and some of you may have heard it years ago, Brother Hiles was in the battle. And he was bringing. I mean, this had never hurt. This had never happened, at least on this wise. When he went up to that big church up there in Hammond, Indiana, that city church, that downtown church, they never seen the likes of what was happening. They ran them buses all over that Calumet region, and they were bringing those gang members and what have you into that church for Sunday school and so forth. And some of the uppity ups came to him and said, "You need to make a choice. You either have the bus kids or you have us. But if they stay, we go." Now, I remember, you've seen it, if you've ever watched that little film Dr. Wally Beebe put out, him giving his testimony. He said he went downtown Chicago. He walked around State and Madison and Wacker down there where the Sears Tower is, down there where the Pacific Garden Mission is. He said he walked through the night. He walked through the night, and he said come morning time, he was on his face on a corner there in Chicago, and he just stood up like a crazy man and said, "I'll take the bus kids." And nobody had a clue that was there, what was going on, but he knew. And I tell you what, that little testimony was heard by a little teenage boy and a young adult. And I saw, if it meant that much to him, it ought to mean that much to me. And you know what, when you look around and you see these folks going out and bringing them in, if it means that much to them that they would give of that time and they'd give of that money and they'd give, of the dedication required to see that that's successful, it ought to become important to everybody.
Amen.
You know, there may be somebody just on the fringe and say, "Man, you know what? I'm just kind of thinking about that." You ought to jump in with both feet.
Amen.
Hey, mate, you could get a CDL. You could drive a bus. You could come to the preacher and say, "Preacher, look, I'll fill up my car first. I want a bus route, but I'll fill up my car first. And when I get my car full, and then I get my wife's car, my husband's car full, and I show to you that we can pick up these, I would think he'd probably go bus shopping."
Amen.
You see, that's what we need to recognize is that we got a back seat. We can bring people to church with us. We start filling up the back seats of our cars and our vans. I was going to say throw them in the back of your pickup truck, but I don't think you can do that anymore. But I guarantee you the preacher said, "Man, we'll see what we can do to get you plugged in." There was a story I heard, and I'll finish with this. There's a story I heard, and you probably heard it as well. If you've heard Bob Smith preach, B.G. Buchanan preach, Keith Gomez preach, or Terry Angel preach, you've heard every illustration that I've ever had. Now, I don't know if mine originated with them, or theirs originated with me, or we stole it from somebody else. I have no idea. But as I recollect the story, there was a battle that was going on during the days of the Civil War. And of course, new recruits were coming in all the time, and a new recruit was sent in, and he was taking his position, and I'm telling the story, so I'll say he was a Confederate soldier, okay? And he was a Confederate soldier, and the battle had been engaged, and he had barely been given orientation, and he was plunged right in the midst of that battle. He heard charge, and he went after it. Well, as the evening drew on, they began to, call the troops in, and the battle would be done for the day. And the bugler sounded, and this fellow just kept going. He kept going. And some of the fellows back there said, that young, wild-eyed fool, he done took off, and he's headed out through the timber, and we've seen the last of him. He'll never survive out there. They could hear the gunshots. They could hear the moaning of soldiers that were wounded. And they went on back to camp. Time passed. Here come that wild-eyed new recruit that had just got there that afternoon. In front of him were three Union soldiers. There he was behind them with a musket and a bayonet in their back. And the fellow said, "Hey, man, where'd you get those guys?" He said, "Hey, the woods out there, they're full of them. All you got to do is go out there and get them." "Hey, the woods is full. We just need some soldiers to go out there. Instead of listening to retreat, go out there and bust them in, bust them in, bust them in from the fields of sin, bust them in, bust them in, bust the wandering ones to Jesus." Wasn't that inspiring? Hey, let's put the go in the gospel. Let's put the go in the bus ministry. Amen. Bus workers, bus captains, bus drivers, God bless you.
Amen.
Hey, let's have some join the ranks.
Amen.
Give them some help.
Amen.